What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of She or They with Kittens. I'm Kittens, and today I've got Zolita on with me. She's an amazing singer, songwriter, director, filmmaker, producer, editor. Like, she literally does it all, and it's fucking nuts. She has this amazingly successful series of music videos for her own music that she's made herself. Like, the credits are so funny because it's like directed by Zolita, produced by Zolita, edited by Zolita, and it's literally like movie studio, we're at in the theater level quality. It's just so phenomenal. And we're gonna talk today just about how she figured out who she is, how she found the confidence to shift her career from filmmaking into music, how she's come to terms with her identity, healthy relationship patterns and behaviors, and as always, how to feel settled in being yourself. Before we get into today's episode, though, make sure you like and subscribe, turn on the notifications, do all those things, you know, all the buttons to push, just go do those. Also, make sure you come check me out on Instagram at IamKittens and at SheHerThey on Instagram so you can keep up with all of the fun new episodes we've got coming. Fun little stuff about future guests, and also our Discord is amazing. So if you go to the She Her They website, I'll link it somewhere here. Beautiful community on there with a bunch of amazing people. So if you are just looking for people to get along with and chat with and find some shared interests with, that's your spot. But yeah, let's jump into the episode now. Right now. Now.
Yes. Hi! Hello.
Oh my God, so good to see you.
It's so good to see you. How have you been? Are you okay in this heat? It's insane.
I'm surviving. I'm surviving. Yeah. I'm just like cranking the AC over here. So.
Oh my God. I hope it gives me like a glow and not a sweat. It'll, you know, hopefully it'll translate as like a radiant glow. My sweat. Yeah.
a little glisten. A little glisten.
Exactly.
Thank you for coming on. I'm so excited to have you. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself, your name, pronouns, how you identify, and what you do?
Yes. My name is Zolita and my pronouns are she, her. Identify as a lesbian, and I am a singer, songwriter, and filmmaker.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm just going to jump right into the filmmaking part because it just still blows my mind. Your music videos are fucking insane. Oh, like, they are like major studio feature film quality productions. And I remember when I watched the first one, I saw the credits and it was like written by, directed by, produced by, this by, that by. Like, you do everything. And I think that is nuts and so impressive. So how did you learn how to do all that? How did you get those skills?
Oh my God. Well, I went to NYU to study film. Music was always something I did for myself, but it wasn't necessarily the thing that I wanted to pursue like as my career. And so when I was at NYU, I realized just how much I loved music videos because it wasn't necessarily like, didn't have to be, you know, narrative structure. Like, you could do whatever you wanted with them. And you could also like, there's just so many different mediums in a music video. There's, you know, fashion and dance and acting. There's just so many things that you can do. And they're so accessible to people, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I were to go like the feature film route, that just like, I feel like I wouldn't have gotten the chance to like direct my first feature until I was like in my late 20s or something. So I definitely learned a lot of like the filmmaking stuff there, but probably just by doing, literally just by doing it, and then just by having lots of people around me, editing for sure. Editing is like a just learn by doing situation.
Yeah,
I'm sure you know too. Yeah,
unfortunately, I've learned all the trial and error drama of that. How did you pivot into music, or were you like working on music prior to that, or you just discovered it while you were in school and went that way? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. So I was writing music just for myself, and it was mostly just like singer, songwritery, guitar. I grew up playing bluegrass. So that was like my roots.
Bluegrass.
Yeah.
Wow. I have not heard. I don't know any
I know.
Who comes from that background?
Random. Especially coming from like Calabasas. It was, and my dad is like German. I don't even know. He got me into bluegrass. And so that's what I grew up playing. But I just like wrote for myself, you know, on guitar. And then while I was at NYU, and I wanted to make music videos, there wasn't necessarily anybody that I wanted to make them for, or like anybody around me that I could. And so I was like, well, like I have all these original songs, like why don't I just like make one for one of my original songs? And I had at that point like been connected with a producer out there and had been like, you know, working on getting the songs actually produced. So then I made my first like official music video called Explosion, and that just like it popped off. Like it went viral in a way, especially like then, that was like 2015, I think. And like hitting a million views on YouTube was like mega big deal. And I think just seeing so many people like connect with, you know, with a theme of like falling in love with your best friend. I feel like that was when the Hayley Kiyoko first video came out, and like Ghost by Halsey. Like there was all these like lesbian music videos all kind of piggybacking off of each other. Yeah, there was such a moment.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough that my video like got into that algorithm. And that's pretty much how I like pivoted and then decided that I wanted to fully go into that and make Zolita kind of my main thing in career. Wow. So yeah.
I mean, your videos all have like this not common theme, but there's an energy to all of them that I think really speaks to moments that are just so left out in media, in mainstream media, in music, and like music videos. There's just this, we have the male gaze, but it's like the lesbian gaze.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's totally like you really tap into the lesbian gaze. And I think that's such a cool thing, because there's people who, you know, maybe don't know who they are yet. They haven't kind of figured their identity out, their sexuality, whatever. And they see this and they're like, I get that. Like, oh my God, that's something I look at my best friend that way. And those moments, those little like, you know, lingering eye contact tension things that are just,
yes, the sapphic things.
We don't, yeah, we just don't get that in a lot of media. And it's so special to feel that representation and like awakening in that.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely sure there's so many kids that like, I mean, and adults that just didn't know that they like maybe liked, you know, girls or their friends in certain ways, or didn't understand themselves. And they're like, oh shit, that's what it means when you feel these things, when you're looking at your best friend, or when, you know, what you have a crush on the like, I don't know, alternative girl in school and you just don't really know. Like it's just so, so cool.
Totally.
It's so cool that it's done so well.
Oh,
but did you kind of keep that in mind? Like, was that an intention, or do you think it's something that just kind of naturally happened because of like who you are?
And yeah, I think that's definitely always an intention. It's like, is to make queer art. Obviously like everything I make is going to be that, because that's my identity, but definitely like telling stories that I would have wanted to see, or that would have been helpful for me to see, or just like telling stories that we like haven't, that are like so traditionally done, you know, in a hetero way, and we haven't gotten to see in a queer way. So like the traditional, you know, high school rom-com, prom movie, like getting to see that played out through a queer lens, I feel like is something that was so special, not only for queer people, because it's healing to see that, especially if you didn't get to live that out when you were in high school, but for, yeah, and for young queer people who like, it needs to be normalized for, and then also for straight, I feel like a lot of straight people seeing that, it just like, it normalizes the queer experience, because it's through like a framework that they are familiar with, and they already know,
right,
it's just the same tropes, you know. And yeah, I feel like in my older work, I was so, all of it was so like alt and so like dark and witchy and like queer in that way. And just very almost like outsider, like weird, bizarre vibes. And I always thought that that was like, that's real art. Like that is, you know, like what I have to do, and make my music super dark. And then this was the first time when I was like, oh, it's just as valid to make like a happy, fun, campy story that's like just plays on a lot of traditional tropes. And also just like to make positive, upbeat music that like is, yeah, it's just as valid as art, you know? So yeah, it's been a fun era for sure. And it's been cool. Yeah. Like, I think especially like you were saying, just like young people seeing it and like having these realizations. I think it's been so awesome with, obviously with TikTok, YouTube, you know, it's like things can pop up, but TikTok, it really like, I feel like the algorithm over quarantine was like, if you were queer, it just like found you, you know, it was like hard to escape that because it was all over. It would be all over your For You page. Like I remember I had one like friend in high school who was straight, and then she started like texting me over quarantine, and she was like, your videos keep coming up on my For You page. And I was like, she's gonna come out. Like, she's gonna come out to me soon. And she did. And she was like, oh yeah, by the way, like,
oh my God.
So I'm like, it's cool that it's finding like the algorithm of TikTok like finds, you know, finds you. Yeah. So like people that maybe wouldn't necessarily search for it, like it's coming to them.
Right. But, yeah. Right. I mean, it really makes you think, because we've been so like the media that we're fed and, you know, like regular TV shows and movies and whatnot has always been so curated and gatekept in so many ways. And the people making it and the people, you know, producing it and putting it out and all that, they're really controlling what we see. And it's so funny because I feel like in the last few years, there's been such a like, everyone's gay now, everyone's having gender issues now, and everyone's this now, and everyone's changing their pronouns. Yeah. What's going on? It's all like as if people are being brainwashed, but it's like, no, people just didn't see themselves in that way. And media now is kind of presenting these really cool different mirrors for people to see themselves in.
Yes.
And they're realizing who they are for the first time.
Yeah.
And reflecting in a different way. And it's like so empowering and freeing, and art's always been impactful, but now it's reaching people in a different way. And it's just like, really, really a special time, I think.
And there's just more of it. Like people have access to way more representations in general. Yeah. And also the coolest thing is like people have access to, you know, seeing how queer people in like the middle of Kansas live, or like there's, you know, like teenagers all over the country, like living proudly and queer on TikTok, and like, you know, a young kid in like Iowa can see that, like, oh, there's people like me everywhere. And it's like, it's normalized.
And it's like from literally all walks of life to see that, because normally like we would only really, when it was kind of Instagram only or like YouTube only, you're kind of only seeing these really like glossy, aspirational lives that are just like beautiful and curated and like, I have money and I'm like living this lavish life, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, there's people that have just, they're living normal ass lives in normal ass places, and they're perfectly happy.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to see that, I think really gives everybody else who might be in a similar situation the confidence to be themselves, explore their identity, feel like not safe, but feel empowered to just be their authentic self, whatever that may be.
Absolutely. Feels like so it gives them permission.
Totally. Did you have any like shows or movies or artists or whatever growing up that kind of gave you that?
Yeah, for sure. Mine, I feel like I talk about this all the time, and I feel like it was for a lot of people, was Britannia and Glee. That was like huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, huge for me. Because before that, I feel like the only like type of lesbian that I had ever seen in the media was maybe a more butch lesbian. And I just like didn't see myself like in that, you know, because I'm pretty femme.
Yeah.
And just so, yeah, to see like two femme girls my age in school, like falling in love, that was just like, oh, like the lights kind of turned on for me. Yeah. So that was a big moment. But if I look back even further, like I didn't recognize it at the time, but like even Avril, like my obsession with Avril when I was like 8 was really, really deep.
Oh, that's what that was.
And I was like, oh yeah. Icon. I'm so happy she's back in such a big way. Like,
I know, she's really like, what a second wave to come crashing in on. It's so epic. I was talking to my girlfriend actually the other day about, she brought up like Hanson and Mbop, and I remembered I was so obsessed with Taylor Hanson.
Yes.
But I thought he was a girl. I was so young that I thought he was a girl, and I was like, he's so pretty and I love that, blah, blah, blah. And then I didn't realize it until I got older, and I'm like, that is so fucking gay. Like,
that's so gay. God. Yes. Oh my God, they were such pretty boys. Yeah.
Right?
They were their so long pretty. Blonde hair, like so funny.
It's so funny that like the things that you're drawn to, and they like they don't make sense at the time, but looking back, you're like,
like, oh, that's what that was. Got it.
Yeah, definitely. So what are you working on now? Do you have any like new music coming up, new music videos, new trilogies of any sort?
Yes. Yeah. So after the trilogy, last trilogy did so well, and I saw just like how many people loved the element of like, it's almost like a TV show through music video. And I think people
honestly, like, I just, in case people are watching this and they haven't seen that, go to her YouTube, go to Zolita's YouTube. These things have like a fucking millions and millions and millions of views at this point. It's nuts. And it's this full fleshed out story that's just phenomenal. And people like lost their shit. So go watch that after this.
Oh, thank you.
Continue.
So cool. Yeah. I feel like people got so attached to the characters, and I loved doing that so much, and I loved like getting to play with that and keep building on that story. So for this next EP, I pretty much did a similar thing in that it's a storyline again. There's going to be at least 4 videos, possibly 6. And it's 6 songs on the EP. I already shot 4 of the videos. I shot them all.
Oh my God.
I shot them all in the same week, which was insane.
Are you kidding?
It was hardest week of my life. Gonna lie, I will never do that again, but I'm glad I got it all. The first video comes out on the 21st of September, and then throughout the year I'll be putting the rest out, and they all connect again, and it's like completely different cinematic universe than the last one. And there's a lot of like fun cameos, and it was just really, really so fun. And now I'm in editing. I'm editing all the videos.
Oh, crazy. My God.
So
good luck to you. Is it like one love interest that's the same throughout?
So it's actually, or not.
Can you give any spoilers?
Yeah. So the spoiler I'll give is that, so the series begins with a breakup, and then it's, the whole series is centered around a road trip. So I'm essentially on this road trip. You don't know where I'm going and where I'm going to end up, but there's definitely a very rom-commy, romantic, happy ending situation. Yeah.
Cute. Oh, that's so fun.
It'll be fun. And it felt like, even, you know, it was a hard week, but it was also really fun because it was like queer summer camp. It was all my crew, and we were all staying up, 2 hours out of LA and shooting up there.
Oh,
it was super cool.
Did you go on like an actual like mini road trip to do this?
I mean, pretty,
or you just shot it all in the same place?
We shot most of it in the same place. So we shot, majority was in Santa Ynez, California, and then and then a little bit was in LA. We just kind of faked some stuff. That would have been cool if I could go on a legit road trip. Would have been awesome. But I'm going on a road trip actually this weekend up.
Oh, fun.
The California coast. Have you done that before?
Yeah, here and there. Like, I haven't done a full one from, like, here all the way up, like, past San Francisco, but I've done from here to SF before.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Where, yeah. Do you know where you guys are going?
Yeah.
Are you stopping anywhere in particular?
We're stopping, and I saw you were just at the Madonna Inn. That's where we're going to...
Love it there.
At least we're going to do dinner there, but we're stopping in like Pismo Beach, Cambria, Morro Bay, where else? Carmel, Big Sur, like all of that.
Pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty shit.
I'm so excited.
Oh, that'll be so fun. Yeah. Go to the fucking ostrich farm in Solvang. If you want some weird shit, go there.
Okay.
It's so bizarre.
I actually have been there because that's where Santa Ynez is basically next to Solvang.
Yeah, it's close by.
And so my dad's lived out there for like the last 7 years. So yeah, I've done Solvang a lot. Solvang is a weird place.
Yeah, it's super trippy. It's super fucking trippy.
It's so like, I took my Danish, my mom is Danish. And I remember when I learned about Solvang, it was like in elementary school. And I was like, Mom, you'll never believe it. There's a Danish town in California. And she was like, what? And we drove out there and she was like, this is not anything like Denmark. She was like,
it's just weird. Offended. It's so quirky. Yeah. It's so quirky and strange, but like charming.
I don't know. It's definitely an interesting thing to see.
Speaking of your parents, actually, how was your upbringing in terms of like figuring out your identity and also wanting to pursue your career? Because I think there's a big correlation that I've seen between people being very settled and authentic in their identity and also choosing to take a maybe different path with their career, because both of these things, you're not sticking to the framework and the narrative that society sets for you.
Yeah.
So were they chill? Like, did you have a hard time kind of navigating? How did you deal with all that?
So the awesome thing was that my parents were always really supportive of me and my creative pursuits. Like I feel like I grew up with like that being the thing that I felt like it set me apart. Like adults were always like, you're so good at guitar, keep doing it. You're so good at taking photos, keep doing that. And like, that's where my like self-esteem came from for sure. Mm-hmm. So that was really lucky. I always knew that they would be supportive of me there. And then with coming out, like, that also, I again got really, really lucky. They're just both really accepting. And I think in the beginning, it's always for moms, like sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around your like idea of, you know, what you envision for your child is just like different. Yeah. And it just takes a second to, in the best case scenario, you know, it takes a second and then it's, they're fine. Yeah. So there definitely was like a little bit in the beginning of the like, oh, like, are you sure it's not a phase? And like, oh, you think he's cute, the don't adjustment. You? And it's like an adjustment period. But other than that, they were so wonderful. So I am so lucky. I definitely attribute like all of like so much of, you know, like who I am, my success, and just like confidence and all of that, like having the parents that I did, and the childhood that I did. Feel very, very grateful for that.
That makes such a huge difference to have that, and it makes me so happy whenever I hear that people grow up with that or have that, because I'm sure as time goes on, like every generation, hopefully, but like for the most part, I think are starting to be more and more accepting and chill and supportive of people being who they are, whatever that may be, whatever that looks like. It's just like the world is a fucking mess. So like, just be as happy as you can be.
Yeah.
I think that's the goal, it seems. So that's really cool though. I love that. Have your parents ever come see you like perform? I know you did a few Pride events this year.
Yes. Yeah. They generally are always there supporting me, which is awesome. My mom's like stage mom vibes backstage, and she's like, she's a designer. So she's always like helping me like, you know, like adjust the costumes and stuff like that. And then my dad is a musician as well.
Oh, cool.
And so he's always there supporting as well.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so nice.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to any shows coming up? Do you have anything on the rise for this next year?
Yeah. So I'm playing Dinah Shore this month, which
Dinah's so fun. /funny.
I've never been.
Fun/funny.
Is it?
Oh wait, how I've gone since I was young. Like,
stop.
I shouldn't have been. Yeah, like, I feel like I went when it was like the like peak, like when the L word was still happening, like the OG yes. L word. Like, I was going to Dinah.
That's amazing. Wait, do you have any Dinah like things you can tell me about it or tips? Because it's my first time.
It's gotten, I feel like it's gotten a bit more chill over the years.
Yeah.
But it's just fucking nuts. Like, I would say don't go in the pool, personally. Don't go in the pool water.
Yeah.
But also brace yourself, because it's like pool party during the day. It's an all day thing. Everyone's like wiling out. And then there's an all night party as well. And it's
three days
in a row. Yeah. It's like back to back to back. It's a lot of action. So pace yourself.
Damn.
But it's so fun because everyone's just partying like in the hallways of the hotel. And like, it's just a whole thing. It's pretty
fun. My God. That's amazing.
And it's actually...
Well, I'm excited. You know, that should be fun.
My favorite part of it is what a diverse crowd it brings. Like, there's literally people there who are, like, much, much older, like, women that are in their, like, 50s. And they're just, like, living their life, having a fucking ball.
That's their weekend.
Yes, they like they plan all year to do this. It's a whole thing. So it's like you get that, and then you get like the, you know, baby gays, and you get the like just literally everyone in between from everywhere in the world. It's so fun.
That's so cool. I'm so excited. Yeah, I definitely like it's been, I feel like that's a like a rite of passage for like a lesbian artist.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember like back in the day they had, I think like Lady Gaga and Katy Perry both performed.
What?
Like it was huge. Dinah was humongous.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that's crazy. Oh, I have to look that up.
It was like a whole thing. It was a whole fucking thing.
Wow.
Good times. Well, good luck at
Thank
Dinah.
Thank you. I can't wait.
I know you're in a happy, healthy relationship. I'm guessing your girlfriend's going to go with you, so you guys can people watch, but people get crazy there, so
I'm happy I'll have her.
What is actually, I think that's an important thing to talk about, because especially in the queer community, having, I feel like sapphics in general don't always have the healthiest relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It gets pretty toxic, it gets pretty codependent, it can get messy. There's a lot of like everyone being with their friends and their exes and all that stuff. So how has it been for you adjusting to something that feels like healthy?
Oh my God. It's very welcome for sure. Like, I've been in like toxic situations for so long. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've learned so much from them. And then I had after my last breakup, had like a 3-year, pretty much was single for 3 years. And just like dating around, and I feel like that time really like made me see what I wanted and what I didn't want, and I was like just ready for something healthy. It's been so nice. I'm just like, oh, like this is how it's supposed to be. Like, it's so easy.
Yeah,
there's no games, there's no like, if anything like bothers me, I'm like, oh, I can just say it and she's not gonna like punish me.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Like, I can just like, oh, this thing like made me anxious, and she's like, oh my God, like, okay, I'll you know, think of that next time, like, and then she'll change the thing. And then vice versa, you know, if something bothers her, it's like she knows she can. She's also a Libra, so I feel like
I'm a Libra.
Both of us, we're the best, we're the diamonds. And I mean, Libras hate confrontation, and we're both like such people pleasers, so I feel like we're both on learning that with each other, that we are allowed to, like, we don't have to be walked all over, like we're allowed to confront each other if we need to. And I think because we both meet each other with such like just like care and grace, and like not, and we're never like angry at each other or punishing each other for bringing something up. So it's created this space to be able to do that. And I feel like it's healed so many of my past, just like patterns and things that I've carried from last relationships. And it's awesome to be in a relationship that's like healing healing like past things.
Yeah, when there's actually room to bring that stuff up and deal with it, because you're not in this constant survival mode, chaos, fucking shit show.
Uh-huh. It's
like all this other stuff has space to breathe and get thrown out because it doesn't, you don't need it anymore.
Totally. And it gives you also the space to like if you're within that, the safe confines of that like relationship, it gives you like the space to thrive in all these other parts of your life as mm-hmm. well, especially if that person is so supportive of everything and anything you are and want to be.
Totally.
So awesome. I think that's been something that I've realized in this relationship, especially, is that like I thrive in monogamy. I know like, mm-hmm. you know, not for everybody. I know like polyamory is having a huge moment oh, yeah. right now, especially in LA. That,
yeah.
And I try.
God bless everyone who can do it.
Truly. That's awesome. I'm like, don't want to knock it for anybody else. I think I just realized the last situation that I was in towards the end of it wasn't open relationship, and I just it was like just so much anxiety all the time, and like so I think I thrive in monogamy. I love it. It's not cool to say, but
no I think it's cool, because it's like it having healthy stability gives you security. It gives you space to be confident, to grow, to not have to like be in anxiety fight or flight mode all the time. It really is like mm-hmm. you have somebody who's your rock. Like, that's, of course people thrive in that, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have any other things that you can attribute your confidence to, like when something hard happens, or when, especially in the social media age, especially being an artist who's like vulnerable and fucking public facing and everyone's you know, looking at everything you do and judging it. Do you have any tools or things that you do to kind of cope and stay grounded and stay authentic and stay confident despite mm-hmm. whatever's going on?
Oh my God. That's been that's a constant like up and down thing, right? It's like sometimes the comments really, really do get to me, or I feel like they're just like more than usual or like negative or something. And it's definitely hard, but the tools I did Kundalini yoga for 6 years, and that was super helpful. I left Kundalini because there were a lot of other issues. It was like a cult, but there were good things in it.
I've heard some things about that. But,
yeah. It's like, at its core, like if the practice wasn't bad, like obviously that's, which is the case with so many things like that. It's like the person at the top who made it bad, but,
right.
But yeah, so I think that was really helpful. Just like meditation practices. And now I actually just started doing TM literally only a few weeks ago. And it's like, and I'm really excited because it feels like I've been looking for a new...
How did you start doing that?
So I just went to the core. There's like a TM center in Los Feliz, and you do like a four-day intensive kind of thing, and they teach you everything, and then you're kind of just, then you're on your own. And
which that's transcendental meditation for anyone who doesn't know.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, I think the reason why, I know it's such a, like, I feel like I was so like, I didn't look into it at first because I was like, oh, it feels like such a gate kept Hollywood, celebrity thing. But I think the thing that I am really, really liking about it is that, it's only 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night, which like coming from Kundalini was like, the more you do, the better you'll be. So it's like people will be doing it all fucking day. Like, and that's the culty aspect of it that becomes addictive, because it's like, wake up at 4 a.m., do it until 6:30 a.m., and then you do it again at 10. And then it's just
it's just too much.
Yeah. And at that point, it's not practical, because you're like, okay, I'm doing all this meditation to try to be better in my real life, but I'm not even in my real life.
Not even present. You know?
Yeah. So I've really enjoyed it. So far it's felt like a much more subtle version of what I used to do, and more just like I feel like grounded and positive and like just feel like good. So that's
sustainable.
Definitely. So that's been a good tool as of late. But other things, I think other cooking has always been it's a good way to get my mind off things, just like being with my friends and hosting, and And then honestly, if I get like super down on myself about just like mean comments or just like feeling like, you know, like I'm like, oh, what am I even doing any of this for? It's all pointless. Like sometimes I'll watch some of my old videos when I was like, even like Holy or Fight Like a Girl when I was like, you know, like four years ago. And she's like, okay, like you're still, like, you're that person who made that video that helped a lot of people. Like, don't forget that. Like, keep doing it. Like, that's the reason why you're doing this. No other reason. Like, keep remembering that reason. Yeah. You know? And I think sometimes it literally takes me revisiting like some of my old work to remember like where, you know, where this is all coming from and why I do it.
Yeah. So I do the same thing. I literally will like, when I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing with my life and why?
Yeah.
I'll go back to the old stuff and be like, yes. Okay. Like, recharge for another little period.
It's so healing because it's like the old stuff is like, that is, it's like the beginning of your fresh idea of like doing it. And it's not kind of like totally like muddled and shrouded with all of these other people's opinions and like,
yeah,
you know, all this other stuff that comes along with, like you said, like being a public facing person.
I think it's, I mean, I guess that the reason that that works is just going back to your roots and really centering and grounding yourself in whatever you're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And finding the simple joys and the simple purpose that you were inspired by originally.
Yes. Like, yes.
That stuff helps so much. Even when I remember I was feeling like really just, I felt like I lost my identity a bit through the pandemic, which I know like everyone did a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I feel like I look boring. I feel basic. Like, who am I? What the hell? And I went and I looked back because I had a major high school phase of like just changing at like my hair, the way I dressed, at my everything. I went through so many phases trying to just kind of figure out who I was. Mm-hmm. I literally got an award for most changed.
Oh my God.
Like, that's, it was amazing. A thing. I went from like varsity dance team cheerleader freshman year to like being gay, chopping my hair off, to like super mm-hmm. scene kid, to like super into like DJing and underground hip hop. I was all over the place. But I looked back at that and I was like, that girl wasn't scared of exploring, of experimenting, mm-hmm. of trying different things on, of, you know, chopping her hair off because she knew it would grow back, like all these different things. And
yes,
going back and finding inspiration in those roots is so, so helpful.
Oh my God. Literally from your younger self. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's got, I think, no matter what you're going through, I think like everyone can have some memory of feeling free and inspired and happy somewhere in their past, and to just go back to that point and be like, who was that person? How do I get back in touch with you? Makes such a difference.
That is such a helpful tool. Yeah. It's so easy to like you're saying with the pandemic, just like overanalyze yourself, just because we're literally just like seeing we have so many different versions of ourselves we're presenting online. And it's like, mm-hmm. the more you look at it, you're like, wait, this, like, who even is this? Like, how am I being perceived? Like, I'm like, do I want to be perceived? It's where like everybody is forced kind of to like look at and analyze and view themselves in ways that they like, that we didn't in the past, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
mind fuck.
It's such a mind fuck.
Okay, this is my favorite question. Everyone has fun, different answers. You can answer with literally anything. The science doesn't matter. Like, whatever you are inspired by, you can do. What is your dream creation zone? It can be underwater. It can be on the moon. It doesn't have to be realistic. But what would your magical creative space look like and be?
My magical creative space, probably somewhere in the middle of like a forest, but like not dark. I wouldn't want the forest to be too dark. Like, it would be like bright forest, little fairy kind of cottage. Definitely horses around me. And I feel like that's kind of my dream creation zone.
That sounds magical. Thank you so much.
Thank
this
you.
Amazing. Do you have any last thoughts? Any like a little advice you'd want to give to anyone? Any like words of encouragement?
Some advice. God, my my advice is to be shameless. Like,
ooh.
I think, yeah, be shameless. Make your art. Don't think too hard about what people are going to think about it. Put it out. It's okay to be cringy, you know? I feel like right now, especially with TikTok, cringe has become like a little bit more normalized. But don't be afraid of what people are going to think and be shameless in the way you live your life, you know?
Love that.
Amazing
advice. I need to take that myself. Awesome. Oh. Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy to have you. And,
me too.
I'll see you around.
Yes. I'll see you so soon.